there are real people around the world that don't decide what they're going to eat. They decide if they're going to eat. And we can be a part of helping that. Not only on the 23rd, which Justice just announced, as we go to help feed people in our own community. There are those that are hungry in Silicon Valley, believe it or not. And on the 23rd, that Saturday, we're going to go and help. We're going to join with probably 1,000 volunteers serving more than 5,000 people. 30,000 flyers have already gone out to homes in San Jose so that we can meet together. I hope you'll sign up and be a part of that. The very next day on Sunday, we're going to share an offering that's called One Day to Feed the World. What that means is that can we take one day, one day's wage, and give that one day's wage to people who are hungry? It's really simple. All you do is you calculate your annual income, you divide that by the amount of days you work, and you come up with a single day's wage. And on that Sunday, November 24th, we'll take a special offering, and every penny will go to Convoy of Hope. Some of you don't know who Convoy of Hope is. Convoy of Hope is, in my opinion, the most excellent, most integrous helps organization on the planet today. Because, not because they serve the most people, but because they serve the people with the gospel of Jesus Christ connected with it. Charity Navigators, the number one rater of charities, has given Convoy of Hope a 4-star rating for 16 years in a row. That's the highest rating you can get. Up to 92 cents on the dollar goes directly to people like Manas and his family. And these people bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the families they serve. We don't necessarily give to Convoy of Hope. We give through Convoy of Hope. That we literally reach people through this ministry. And we've been a partner with them since its inception, back in the late 80s. So I hope you'll take the time to remember, and that when November 23rd and 24th comes, we'll make it a great, great Thanksgiving weekend and go help in San Jose. And then on the 24th, we'll bring our One Day to Feed the World offering. We've been a great supporter, and I'm hoping for record numbers. You know me. I never ask you for money for our own needs, because I believe God takes care of our own needs. But when it comes to people around the world that need, I'm bold about that. Let's give generously. Amen? Let's feed people. And right now, literally today, Convoy of Hope is feeding over 200,000 children every single day. And we get to be a part of that. That's awesome. Amen? Amen. All right, let's get into the Word this morning. Before I do, I just want to say, man, I don't know if I've ever felt a congregation wanting an encore to a baptism before. It felt like a concert where people just weren't going to stop clapping until they came back out into the water. But Savannah and Rob, thank you. Thank you for sharing your story. And Savannah, you are articulate. Just really, God's got his hand on your life. And I'm so grateful for you and for your family. And thanks for sharing from your heart today. That was a blessing. We're in Ezekiel this morning. If you're reading along with your Bible First lifestyle, we're in Ezekiel. We've been through Ezekiel in Ezekiel for a couple of weeks. For those that are guests with us today, our theme this year has been the Bible First lifestyle. What that means is that we understand that God has communicated to us through His Word. Yes, He sometimes communicates to us through the Spirit, that we don't have as the lone source the Scripture. God gives visions and dreams and things like that. But the Word of God is our foundation, and it is the thing by which we verify all other communication. Sometimes you'll hear some, well, I had a dream or I had a vision. We say, okay, that's great. Let's verify it with God's Word. And let's make sure it's right and accurate and true. God's Word is the infallible, inerrant love communication to us. And so we want to base and live our lives on that. And so all of this year, we've been reading through the Scriptures. And then the following Sunday, I teach on the Scriptures we just read that previous week. So that's what we're doing. And this week, we were in Ezekiel 27 to 48, finishing that up. And then Psalm 127 to 135. Now, I know that some of you, let's just be honest. Can we be honest with each other this morning? How many are reading through Ezekiel for 2 solid weeks are going, I can't wait till Ezekiel is over? Okay, we can just be honest, right? But it's a powerful book all the same. But there are some of those really hard scriptures to get through. And some of the things that are said in Ezekiel are kind of difficult to slog through. Let me just comfort you. Don't worry. Starting today, we're in the book of John. Okay, you cheer, but wait until you hear what Jesus says in the book of John. And it's like Mark Twain said, it's not the things I don't understand about the Bible that bother me. It's the things I do understand that bother me. And so you're going to hear some strong things from Jesus in the book of John. Well, in the context of Ezekiel, we've been through some really, really powerful passages. And in Ezekiel, there's lots of judgment. Lots and lots of, you did it wrong, nation of Israel, and all the surrounding nations, and now you're going to have to pay. Judgment will come. God promised if you worship idols and go against me, that there will be consequences. Likewise, if you follow me, there will be blessings. But with the consequences of God, because he made a promise to his people that he would always be their God, he would always be there for them, there's always a redemptive side, even of God's judgment. And in the last few chapters of Ezekiel, we see that redemptive side. Especially starting in chapter 37, as you read this week, there's that really unique vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. Remember reading that? And there's Ezekiel sees this valley. I mean, picture, you know, some kind of you know, meadow with mountains on the side, full of just bones, human bones. And that's to represent the nation of Israel, dead and dried and lifeless. But God says, I'm going to breathe life into those bones again. And he does. And the bones come together and flesh comes on the bones again and there's life again. Church, that's what God does with us. If you feel lifeless and dry and just like there's nothing, I want to encourage you today, with God, there's life. He can breathe freshness back into you and bring his just joy and peace back into your life. Well, from there we go right into chapter 38 and 39. Some of the most brilliant prophetic passages on what's yet to even come in our future. Just before this strange thing called the millennium that I don't have time to go into, you can read about it in Revelation 20 and 21, and where Jesus comes and reigns on earth literally for 1,000 years. Well, just before that are some pretty crazy times. And Ezekiel 38 and 39 talk a little bit about those crazy times. Then we get into chapter 40 to 46, where it gets a little bit dry. It's the measurement of the temple. And it's all these really specific, detailed measurements of the temple. But God is trying to give us a vision and some clarity on there is going to be another revived temple and place to worship where Jesus himself will reign. And he's building up to that big symbol crash of joy when Jesus comes back again. Then we get into chapter 47, which I'm going to spend some time today on. And then the culmination in chapter 48, introducing the heavenly kingdom where God reigns forever and ever and ever. So with all of that said, let me read to you in chapter 47. I want to read to you the first 12 verses. And then I want to talk in this message called Let's Go Deeper. You'll understand why that title as I read the passage. Okay, you'll have to read along with me. It's a longer passage, so I didn't put it in your notes this morning. Chapter 47 of Ezekiel, verse 1 through 12. Ezekiel speaking, he says, "The man, an angel, a messenger, brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out of the threshold of the temple toward the east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out through the northern gate, led me around the side to the outer gate facing east, where the water was trickling down. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, which is about 1/3 of a mile, and he led me through the water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was now knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was now up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now the river was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. And he asked me, 'Son of man, do you see this?' I want to pause right now and just ask you to put on your thinking caps and say, church, do we see this? Let's go deeper. He continues, then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. And he said to me, this water flows from the eastern region and goes down into the Araba, that's the Jordan Valley, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand alongside the shore from the En Gedi to the En Eglaim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left there for their salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. Do you see all of this? Let's go deeper. Let's find out what this means. Let's find out what God has in store for us. And I think after today is finished, we're going to be challenged from where we are to hunger more than we've ever hungered in our lives before. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 9 says this, or rather, it says that everything, where the river flows, everything will live. Isn't it great about God that where God is, everything lives? Imagine, you've done this before, whether it was getting into the ocean or getting into a swimming pool or maybe a river or a lake, that especially if the water's cold, some of you are like, you know, a teenage boy and you don't care. You just run and you go, and you just go for it. You just run and you splash and you go. Others of us, we kind of want to test the water first, right? You go and you maybe put a toe in and you kind of test it out, make sure it's okay. And then once you get a little used to that, then maybe you'll go in a little bit deeper. And then you get used to that, and then you go in a little bit deeper. And then there's that awkward part where the water hits those sensitive areas. And you take a little longer getting used to that because it's like, oh, it's a little cold. But then eventually you get in, usually, and it's a lot of fun. And you enjoy that. And you enjoy the beauty and the wonder of swimming and enjoying the freshness of the water. A lot of us in the Spirit are the same way. Where some of us, when we met Jesus, we went, help! And we just went for it. Now, we didn't really understand what we were going for, and we learned really quickly that, oh, I need to learn a few things, and that there's a lot more than just emotion and shouting and all of that. There's lots to learn about serving God. Others have taken a little more strategic approach, maybe, in their thinking, that they're going to just step in a little bit, going to check this God out. And then, well, it's not too bad. And then maybe I'm going to go a little deeper. Then maybe I'll go a little deeper. Sadly, some, they maybe go up to their ankle or their knee and they decide, nah, not really up for a swim. And they leave the water's edge and they never fully become immersed in the power and the presence and the joy of God. Today, it's my hope that we'll all get fully immersed and that we'll all just go ahead and go for it. Let's go deeper. Let's see what more there is. Here's what I know about God. If He's infinite, there's never a day that will go by that you can't learn something new. There's never a day that will go by that God, if you're looking, won't awe you. There's never a day that will go by that you'll see something, experience something, hear something, where God will say, that was me, and I'm just here to tell you something fresh. Isaiah says, there's a new thing He's doing every day. If we'll go deeper. If we'll experience Him more. Let's look at this river. And let's find out exactly what this is. Water is really the source of life. Without water, we die. We can survive without food for, I don't know, maybe 40-ish days or something like that. Without water, we're gone in just a couple of days. Water really is that source. And isn't it amazing how most great cities of the world are built near the water? A great river or an ocean, you know, Paris by the Seine or London by the Thames or Vienna or Prague by the Danube or wherever it is. Water is there, our great area by the ocean. Water is that source of life. Well, if water is the source of life, this scripture shows us where's the source of the water. And God is the source of the water in this passage. And He's the source of really everything. So the water, this river, flows from God. Not from an ice pack somewhere. Not from a snow-capped mountain. Not from the rain falling and the streams trickling down. The water is flowing from God. He's the source. Are you spiritually dry this morning? You kind of find yourself a little bit in the blahs. Can I just tell you to go deeper? Because He's the source. He's where your refreshment will come from. He's where your vitality will come from. He's where the renewed purpose will come from. He's where the refreshment and the fulfillment will come from. He's where the unraveling of the confusion will come from. He's the source of life. And in this imagery, which really is more than imagery because there will be a river and there will be refreshing and it will flow from the temple and it will flow to the Dead Sea. And I'm not talking metaphorically. I'm talking literally because God is the source. Some of us think that we need to go look for a self-help book or exercise more or diet more or do something. And we want to treat the physical before the spiritual. Well, God says, no, physical training is good for some things. And it's all good, but spiritual training is good for all things. 1 Timothy says that, chapter 4, verse 8. So if we work on the Spirit and go deeper, we'll find change will happen. Reminds me of this story where Jesus meets a woman at a well in John chapter 4. And as she's drawing water out of the well, which she's done every single day. Remember, back in those days, they didn't just trot over to the nearest faucet, turn it on, and there you go, fresh water. They had to go to the well for cooking, for drinking, to feed the animals, to everything they needed water for. Go to the well every day. Get up. Go to the well. Get up. Go to the well. And this woman is at the well doing what she's done every day. Jesus meets her and in His clever, Jesus-like way says, hey, you know, you're going to give me a drink from this water, but hey, you know what? If you would ask me, I'm not telling you you're going to ask me or anything, but if you would ask me, I could give you water and you'll never thirst again. You'll never have to come back to this well again. Isn't it a pain coming back to this well every day? What if you never had to come again? What if you never thirsted again? I can give you water like that. What water? What water is that? Well, it's living water. And of course, He wasn't meaning H2O. He was meaning life in Him. Saying, I am the life, He's trying to tell her. And after their conversation, He reveals through prophetic things that He is God and freaks her out. And she goes and tells everybody, and it's great. But He's trying to tell her, I am the source of the water. Church, God is our source. If you're looking anywhere else but God, you're looking in the wrong place. If you're looking at any other philosophy, any other club, any other fulfillment, you're looking in the wrong place. They may not be bad places. They may be perfectly good places, but they will leave you thirsty. There's only one source that won't leave you thirsty. His name is Jesus, and He's God. He's the source of the river that Ezekiel sees. From there, there's a flow. This river trickles. It says it's trickling from the temple. Now what's the deal with this temple? Remember, what is the temple? The temple is the place of worship and prayer. The temple is also the place of sacrifice. When the people would bring their sacrificial offerings, they brought them to the temple, and those things were sacrificed on the altar in the temple. It's the place of sacrifice. Why is the water flowing from the temple, this river? Because it can only flow because there was a sacrifice made there. That sacrifice is our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a cross that hangs behind me. And it's to remind us that everything centers on the cross. The water flows because Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice. Jesus hung there and he said, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. And when he did that and he died taking our sin upon himself, that the curtain that separated us from God in the temple tore in two, giving us now direct access, not only to him, but giving him direct access to us. There's a mutual two-way road now that God's blessing flows out of the temple to us and that we can go and access that. Reminds me of the story of Moses and the Israelites as they had escaped Egypt. And it only was a few weeks, and they got thirsty. And when they got thirsty, they complained. They got so thirsty, and they complained in such a way that they said, Moses, it was better if we'd go back to Egypt. What a tragic thing to say. It'd be better to be a slave there and at least have our thirst quenched than be out here with you, free people, headed toward a promise, but be thirsty. God said, fine, Moses, go over to the rock. Strike the rock, and water will come out. Water from a rock? Trust me. Just trust me. And Moses does, and he trusts him, and he strikes the rock. And out of the water, from no other source, not some little hocus-pocus secret stream in the mountain somewhere that Moses happened to get lucky and just hit the right stone, and oh, there it is. No, God put water, and he poured it out of the rock. For a reason, to show them that he's God and that he is their source and can quench their thirst. Well, later on, the situation plays out a second time. They're thirsty again. They don't have any water. And this is much, much, much later, years later. And they again say, it was better that we go back to Egypt. Are you kidding me? Have you not learned to trust God yet? And God says to Moses, Moses, speak to the rock. Don't strike it. You struck it one time. This time, speak to it, and water will come forth. Well, Moses is ticked. He's sick of these people. They're bugging him. They're on his nerves. And he just, in a fit of anger, strikes the rock again. Water comes out. But God says, Moses, you disobeyed me. You can't go into the promised land now. Why was that so harsh? Because it's a type of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our rock. Search other scripture. It's all over the place. Jesus need only be stricken one time. He died for us once and for all. After that, all we need to do is ask. And the refreshing will come. All we need to do is pray. All we need to do is say, Father, I need you. And the refreshing will come. We don't need to strike him again. We don't need to put him on the cross again. Just ask. And the refreshing will come. Because Jesus died. He was stricken once. The water will flow. Folks, the water flows from the temple because Jesus Christ gave his life for us. He is our source. He is the beautiful rock that was stricken. But now all we need to do is ask. And the water will come. And it will refresh us every single day. And the river brings forth life. Everything, it brings to life everything it touches. It's a beautiful picture. And this is literal now. You might want to slip into a metaphor here. No, no, no. This is literal stuff. When Jesus Christ comes back, everything's going to change. On earth for 1,000 years, and then in heavenly kingdoms for all of eternity. And it says, when the water flows, it refreshes everything it touches and brings life that all can enjoy. Now get this, during the millennial reign of Christ, not everybody's going to serve him. Well, they're going to obey him, but they're not all going to want to. This is not heaven yet. And it's going to be great, but there will be those that will still harbor in their heart resistance. But they're going to enjoy it. Now get this picture. I've been to the Dead Sea. How many have been to the Dead Sea? There's not a lot of life there. It kind of looks like that's a kind of a pretty picture of it, but I mean, there's uglier pictures of it. I chose a nice one. But there's no life there. There's just salt, and nothing lives. You can go there, you can float in the salt, and don't shave before you do it, by the way. It's really bad. There's no fish. There's no fishermen. There's no trees. Off in the distance, you see some little, I don't know, little tumbleweeds or something. But this is going to become fertile like the Mediterranean. Why? Because the water that flows from the source of God, from the temple, down through the Jordan Valley, is going to find itself in the Dead Sea, and this place will flourish. You're going to see it. Why? Because everything the water of God touches flourishes. Everything the Spirit of God touches flourishes. There'll be trees on either side of the river. And it's reminiscent of Revelation 21, where it says in the heavenly kingdom, there'll be the trees that will grow, and they'll have fruit every month. And the fruit is for good food, and the leaves of the trees will be for the healing of the people. And this is going to happen, and this is going to turn fresh. But get this, God is so cool. Not all of it will turn fresh, because we still need salt. So just a little part will stay salty, because I kind of like salt on my vegetables. I kind of like a little extra flavoring. And he'll leave that there. And it's going to be awesome. Why? Because everything God touches is better. Now on a practical level, why do we struggle with that? Why do we struggle? Church, let's get this in our mind. Everything God touches gets better. Do we want a better life or not? I do. And the very last verse of that scripture I read says that wherever the river flows, it gets better. It flourishes. It's teeming with life. That's God. And that's what God will do in us and through us. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 says this. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and his leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. It's the water of God. And if you'll plant yourself by the water of God, life's going to be good. Oh, it may not be easy. Let's never confuse good with easy. But God is God, and whatever he touches flourishes. Okay, now what do we do with this? Well, here's what the man did with Ezekiel. He said to Ezekiel, let's go deeper. And here's where it gets fun, and here's where it gets up to us. He said, let's go deeper. He said, he first led me into this river, and the river, as it trickled out of the temple and it started to gain momentum, it was ankle deep. How many like to walk along the ocean side in ankle deep water? It's refreshing, isn't it? It's nice. Kick off your shoes, walk along the side, you may roll up your pants, and when the swells come in, you kind of, you know, dodge out of the way because you don't want to get your clothes wet, you're not quite ready, and it's just refreshing. But tell me, who's in control there? You're in control, right? You can run fast along the ocean side when the water's only ankle deep. You can splash around, it's kind of fun, but the ocean is not overpowering you. You're in full control of your life. You're in full control of the situation, and you can run fast and enjoy it all. You know, church, some of us are ankle deep in Jesus. The river of God that refreshes. We got an ankle deep, and some of us are content there. Oh, it's nice just to kind of jog around and kind of kick the water a little bit, splash, and get a little on you, but it'll dry soon. No big deal. It's refreshing and it's nice. I don't want to get too wet. Don't want to get too into it. Don't want to go overboard. Got other things to do. Got other plans. Don't want to get my clothes wet. You follow me, right? Some of us are treating that. Now you're in the water. You're interested enough to splash around ankle deep. But let's go deeper. What if you go knee deep? Now, you ever been knee deep in the water? A little harder to walk, isn't it? It's kind of awkward. You kind of have to slog a little bit. And as you're slogging through, it gets on you and the water comes and now you're pretty wet. You're sort of committed at that point. I mean, you're wet. And you walk slower. And it's harder to walk. You really can't run unless you do that dorky, I'm in the water run. You know what I mean? When you're trying to lift your feet high enough to actually take a stride. And nobody looks cool running in knee-deep water. Nobody does. And eventually, if you try to do it, you'll fall and you'll crash and burn in the water. And then you're in anyway. But you got to slow down. When you walk with God and you go a little deeper, He makes you slow down. You start seeing things a little different. You walk a little different. You don't run as fast as you used to. But instead, you start giving way a bit more to His influence in your life. You follow me? Because you're going a little deeper now. Life is changing a bit. You're changing a little few of your habits. It's not all about you, but you're still pretty much grounded. You're not worried that an undertow is going to cart you off. You can escape to the shore pretty easily if you want to. But what if you went deeper? And the man took Ezekiel into waist-deep water. I don't know about you. You can't run in waist-deep water. Well, maybe you get on those, you know, you see those aerobic, you know, exercises in water, and they pretend like they're running. They're not really running. They can't go anywhere. You're in waist-deep water. And you really go slow. You kind of have to walk when you're in that deep of water. God really slows you down. And He really shows you that He needs to teach you a few things, and that you're going to have to go slower, and it's harder. And maybe if the water gets even a little higher, you know how when you used to bob, to kind of still feel like you're on the bottom? You know, maybe when you're littler and the water would get up high, you don't want to get it in your face, so you kind of bob, and you touch, and the swells go, then you bob again. Maybe kind of like that feeling. You can still touch bottom, but you're in. You're in deeply, but you still got a couple of toes left on the bottom. And this is the slowest you can go. You can just take step by step, and you feel the tug of the swells as they come and they pull you. And maybe you feel the sand slipping underneath your feet and the water pulls you again. You can feel Him pulling you. Some of you felt that in the Spirit. Come in further. There's more. It's better. But then there's the last stage that Ezekiel shows us, and he says, and then I got in to where, and this picture's, where did it go? This picture's not even that good because the water is moving fast at this point. And it says you couldn't cross it, and it couldn't touch bottom. But that's the water that you can swim in. That's the water when you get off the ground and stop relying on yourself and stop relying on other things and stop relying on your own control, that if you'll just let the current take you, oh man, you can fly. Man, you get in current like that, it's like, you can go miles in a hurry when you let the water carry you. You following me right now? There's a lot of reasons why some of us aren't progressing. Maybe in the way we think in the Spirit. And then when I say progressing, I mean that, you know, you're struggling. Doubts, fears, discouragements, you know, just issues that come up. And you're like, oh man, you know, I don't know if God's there. I wonder. Because you still got some toes on the ground. When you finally release that and you decide to go in deeper and He carries you, there's joy there. There's woo-hoo-hoo! We're flying now! And sometimes it's even a little scary. Like, whoa, God, it's too fast. It's too fast. Slow down. I see the rapids. I'm not sure I'm ready for that. And God says, don't worry, I got you. I got you. It's okay, because everything I touch is good. And He carries you fast. Faster than you could run on the shore when you were just ankle deep. And more fun. And more refreshing. And more exhilarating. That's God. Church, the question is where are you? Are you content with being ankle deep? Let's go deeper. Maybe you go, okay, I'll try knee deep. I'm kind of learning some disciplines and learning how to pray and learning how to read my Bible. It's just kind of random, but I'm trying. And let's go deeper. Why not go waist deep? Why not really, really plug in and start to rely on Him for everything and start thinking about your work as an opportunity to glorify Him and start thinking about your life being all His in every way and consulting Him before decisions are made and really reading the Bible and actually doing it. Not just reading it to check off the boxes in your Bible First lifestyle plan. And what if you actually just let the Spirit take you to where you begin to see the miracles You begin to see God doing wonders and giving you insights that you never thought you could have because He's carrying you and He's refreshing you. And you go through hard times, but you don't understand why you're at peace. But it's because the peace of God that surpasses understanding is guarding your hearts and your mind. And He's renewing you and He's changing you. And you don't get as angry as you used to. And you don't get as impatient as you used to. And you don't get as frustrated as you used to. And you surprise yourself because you're like, what's happening to me? I used to get so crazy. And now I'm at rest. It's because God. And He's got you in the water now. And He's carrying you. And He's leading you. And you start to hear His voice more readily. Do you want to go there? Why not go deeper? When I ask that question, do you want to go there? Some are going, yeah, but no. Yeah, but no. But knee deep is good, right? Well, it's not bad. You're in the water, but let's go deeper. Well, I'm waist deep. Isn't that good? Yes, it's good. But let's go deeper. Because the beauty about God is we don't know what we don't know. Until you get there and go, what was I thinking? This is awesome. Not easy, but awesome. Let's go deeper. God is inviting us to that place today. And He says this, that swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on the banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither. The fruit will be born every month, and the water is there for our, or the leaves there for our healing. God is there, and it's beautiful. And He's the source. If we'll go deeper. Some of you are sitting here right now thinking, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm afraid. I'm nervous. And I'm not even sure God will accept me. So, Pastor, you can say that. It's pretty easy for you. But you don't know what kind of person I am. I think if I stepped in the water, I'd cause an oil slick. I got so much crud on me and so much junk on me. Can I just tell you something right now? God always inserts Himself into the midst of the ugliest. He doesn't run from it. He never does. In Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, how could they sin right in the face of a God they can see? God didn't run from them. He inserted Himself in the midst of them. And He called out, Adam, Eve, where are you? The nation of Israel was wandering and they were ugly in their rebellion. And God came and He inserted Himself. Said, where my people are, that's where I want to be. And the New Testament opens with a man who's engaged to a girl. And an angel comes and inserts him and tells of the insertion of Jesus into their midst and says, you're going to have a child. You're going to name Him Jesus or Emmanuel, God with us. He's going to set up His tabernacle with you. Don't be afraid. God always inserts Himself into our darkest and ugliest. He's not afraid of it. He took it. He bore it on the cross. And now He's just asking you if you'll come and go deeper. Take a new step. And there'll be a day when we'll see Him face to face. There's going to be a day. There really will be a day when the Dead Sea will turn fresh and we're going to see it. And we're going to go, whoa, this is a lot better than Pastor Greg described. Way cooler. And there'll be a day when we will be with Him for all of eternity. And we'll look at each other and we're going, dude, it's happening right now. It used to be just churchy stuff. Now it's real. It's going to happen. That ought to give us hope every day now while we wait. But while we do, why not go deeper? I don't know what really that means to you. As I was thinking through this message, I thought about defining what ankle deep means and knee deep means and waist deep means. But I can't do that. Because it might mean slightly different things to each of us. And I can't make this legal thing that says, step one, step two, step three, step four. All I can beckon you is say, if you'll go deeper, it gets better. So whatever that means to you, let's do that. Let's go deeper. And let the God who is the source of the water that quenches our thirst, who will refresh you, and who will carry you on His current with such joy, with such delight. And as you go, you'll face even the hardest things of life. And you'll find peace there because God is there. Let's go deeper. Let's bow our heads together. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that Your Spirit is speaking to each one of us. God, I'm not even sure what going deeper means to every individual in this room. I know what it means to me, because I know the areas of my life where I'm still kind of wanting to feel the bottom of the ocean. Makes me a little secure to feel like I've got a little bit of control. And there's those areas that You're saying, come on, son. Come on, let go. Let Me carry you. Let Me carry you in My current where it's fast and it's exciting. It's refreshing. God, I don't know what that means, ankle deep and knee deep and wait to everybody here. But I do know, God, that right now Your Spirit is speaking to us. I do know that right now You're whispering inside of our hearts, and everybody in their individual place knows what it means for them to go deeper. And I pray, God, that each one of us would take that step. Thank You, Jesus, for beckoning us. For there will be a kingdom one day, and the name of the kingdom is the Lord is there. That's all You've ever wanted, was to be with us. I thank You, God, that we're moving toward that place where the Lord is there. Help us to realize that You're also here right now. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'd like to ask you if you'd like to go deeper. Maybe deeper for you is that you're not even in the water yet. And deeper for you means I'd like to step in. Great day to step in. You can follow Savannah's example. Why not you? Step in. Maybe you've already done that, but you're ankle deep or knee deep or waist deep. And God right now is talking to you about what it means to go deeper. Let's do it. Go deeper. Come on. It gets better. For a while, you got to walk slower. From ankle deep to knee deep, it's slower. There's some work there. There's some disciplines there. From knee deep to waist deep, it gets even slower. It gets slower. There's some work there. It's not easy to deny yourself. But there's a day. And God will give us little snapshots of that periodically, where He picks us up and we flow. We go, oh man, this is living. Let's go deeper. As I'm standing here on this platform, having prayed through this message this week, saying to myself, God, I think I know the places where I need to go deeper. Show me if there's other places. And He's shown me. But I'd like to invite any of you to just to stand with me. If you would say, I'd like to go deeper. I would like to go to that, whatever that next level means, I'd like to go there. I'd like to invite you just to stand with me. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I just think it's important to make a stand. If you want to go deeper, just stand with me. Whatever that means for you, I don't know. But you know, it could be a little step. Let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Praise God. Praise God. I anticipated this response because I know you. And I know what God has been leading us. Have you felt Him the last month and a half or so? He's been leading us. Beckoning us to seek more. Beckoning us to hunger more. Beckoning us And he's still doing that. God is doing something very, very special in us. And this kind of response is God. So I'd like us to do this. For some of you, it might be a weird thing, but we are family. It's one of our markers that we're new people by the identity in Jesus Christ, and we're family because he's all of our Father. And so it's okay if we reach out and take the hand of a person next to us. And let's just encourage each other to go deeper. I'm going to pray. I'd like you to pray for the person on your left, the person on your right. You may not know their name. It's okay right now to lean over and say, "Hey, what's your name? I don't know you." You don't have to ask them what they're standing for. But pray for them and say, "God, help them go deeper. Help them to take that next step and encourage them." Okay, let's do that right now as I pray and you pray. Pray for those people next to you, all right? Let's do it together. Father, I thank you so much that you've called us in your word to go deeper. You've given us this beautiful picture of water flowing from you, from the temple, down to the Dead Sea, making everything alive that the water touches. And you ask us to get in the water. You ask us, God, to take a step in, and it starts shallow, but it gets deeper, and it's joyful there, and it's wonderful there, and it's life there. God, I pray for everyone that's standing right now. You've spoken to them. I know you have, because they're standing. And I pray in Jesus' name that the power of your Holy Spirit would begin to communicate to each one by your sovereignty and by your blessed just heart talk. To each one of us, what it means to take the next step, what it means to go deeper. It might mean to renew our time in the Word, or to renew an obedience, to renew a discipline, to engage with people, to be a part of service. It could be so many things. It could be to share our faith with someone. God, we know, and you know, because you're talking. God, help us today to go deeper. And Lord, I pray that we would not be like the Israelites who would clamor for something else. But we would hunger and thirst only for the living water, that if we drink of it, we'll never thirst again. I praise you, Jesus. Let us all be trees planted by the water, and who are nourished and who are prosper in everything we do. God, I praise you for this beautiful passage. And I praise you that it will come to fruition one day, literally. And that we are going to get to see that. And it just may be that we'll remember back to November 10th, 2019, and we'll giggle and we'll say, "Remember that Sunday when we were talking about this? It's here." God, let that image fill us with hope every day as we go deeper. And as it's harder to walk in our own strength, and as we walk slower and we might get a little frustrated in the journey, but God, there'll be that freedom when we release ourselves into your flow. Thank you, God, for this church family. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your gift of living water. When we drink, we'll never thirst again. Thank you for being the God who is here. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Pastor Sean.